Well, it's awesome to see you all here tonight. A real encouragement. You couldn't be doing anything better with your night tonight. So welcome. It's great to see you all. I'm a little bit behind the times. Last week, I watched Frozen for the very first time. Put your hand up if you've never seen Frozen before. So most of you have seen it. It's good. You should go watch it. As I was watching it with some of you guys, I was the only one in the room not singing all the songs. I didn't know them. So it was a special privilege to hear this wonderful choir of youth singing every song from Frozen. It was great. The basic plot line, as pretty much all of you will know in Frozen, is that it's about two sisters, Anna and Elsa. Is that how you pronounce their name? Anna and Elsa? Anna. Anna and Elsa, is that right? Okay, Anna and Elsa. And they travel on a journey. It's all about a journey. And on this journey, they discover that what they thought at the beginning of the movie, that they thought was really, really important in their life, they discover that those things weren't actually that important and there were greater things that were more important, particularly their love for one another as sisters is something that they hadn't really discovered at the start of the movie. And this discovery that they made is what the Bible calls wisdom. Wisdom. True wisdom is realizing when your heart isn't aligned with what is true and with what is right. And so wisdom for us as Christians is aligning our emotions and our desires and our plans and everything with God's plans and his desires and his emotions. And that's what the Bible calls wisdom. We're going to be looking at Psalm 116. That's the banner for the series over the next 4 weeks. And it's really all about wisdom. That's a really good psalm, Psalm 116. You're going to get a lot out of it as we look through it together. Sorry, 119. I'm doing well. Yeah, 119. Good to hear that you're listening. We're all searching for the good life, aren't we? We're all searching for wisdom and advice for navigating our way through this life. We all know that life is all about ups and downs and blessing and happiness, so we're looking for these things, aren't we? We want to live a happy, blessed life. The Psalms are a wonderful place to look if you're wanting to know about how to live a blessed life. The Psalms are a fantastic place to look. They're full of wisdom, which is completely relevant to us today. Just stick up the wisdom slide. Psalm 119 is the longest psalm in the Bible. It goes for 176 verses, and it covers heaps of themes that we see through the rest of the psalms, the Psalter. It covers happy stuff like prayer and praise and worship of God, but it also covers a whole bunch of sad stuff as well. Depression, sadness, those kinds of things. And it's all about how to seek out God and have a relationship and have a blessed life with him as we travel on this journey of faith. I think I've lost a page. That's why I can't. Oh, they're double-sided. I was wondering how come my notes didn't line up. There we go. That makes a lot more sense. So Psalm 119, it's full of happy stuff, it's full of sad stuff. It's a really amazing psalm. If you want to have a look at it in Hebrew, it's laid out, if you can see in your Bibles how it's laid out in sections, and it's got this strange word above each of the little sections. Those words are the words of the Hebrew alphabet. If you want to learn the Hebrew alphabet, then look through those letters. So Aleph, Beit, Gimel, Dalet, all those letters. And it's all about a journey. This psalm. Okay. I'm back with my notes. I've got it. Okay. So, I'm with it. So, make sure you've got Psalm 119 open. Let's take a look at it. That's a really good psalm. Psalm 119 begins with a claim. It claims that it knows the key to God's blessing. And as you can see in verse 1, it says that blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Okay, that's a big claim. The first thing to notice about this verse is that it says that blessedness isn't something which happens at the destination, but it's something that happens on the journey. It happens as you're walking, along the road. The word way that you can see in verse 1 there, it's from the Hebrew word derek, which means a road, a journey, a distance to be travelled, a manner of walking. It's not a stationary thing that you can stop and look at and say, there, I got it. I've got blessedness. But blessedness, this verse says, is something that's ongoing. Even as you stop to think about your life and where you're at, you're still living. Like, life keeps on going. And blessedness is about godliness and about habits and about character and decisions and things that happen in real time on the way. Blessedness, this psalm says, is about staying on the right road. As you're traveling along in your life, blessedness is about traveling in the right direction, keeping on going. So how do we learn this blessed way, this blameless way that the psalm talks about? Is it through trial and error, like what the characters in Frozen do? Like they kind of go along, they make mistakes, and through this series of mistakes they realise what's truly important to them? Well, no, the psalm goes on to say that the way of blessedness is laid out for us already. We're not left in the dark as to how to have a blessed life. It's something that God has already laid out for us. The psalm says that God's way, walking God's way, is the way to find true blessing in your life. As you can see in verse 3, blessedness is about walking God's way. Or in verse 14, if you just cast your eyes down there, across the page, is it? It's delighting in God's way. Or verse 27, asking for understanding of his way. Or verse 37, the psalmist says, turn my eyes, God, from worthless things and teach me your ways. So it's a way for us to discover rather than to create. It's a way for us to learn rather than to make up. So how do we uncover God's way? It's a fairly postmodern idea, isn't it, to say that we should follow somebody else's way and to not create our own way of life. But the Bible knows what it's talking about when it says that we should follow God's way. Verse 1 goes on to say that the blameless way is to walk in the law of the Lord, or the Torah of Yahweh, the law of the Lord. Maybe the law of the Lord isn't the place that you might think of going to look if you're looking for the blessed life. I don't know. Is that the first thing you think of? When you think, like, well, what am I looking for when I'm looking for blessing and good things in my life? Probably the law of the Lord isn't the first thing you'd think of. But the psalm over and over again says that the psalmist says that he delights in the law of the Lord, that he finds such joy in God's law. Being Australians, we all know the famous event that took place in 1788, don't we? That has shaped our nation more than any other. You'll all know, I'm sure, that on May the 30th in 1788, there was a crucial event which formed our cultural identity. That's the day when the Marylebone Cricket Club adopted the laws of cricket. It's a wonderful day. It was a great day. Not sure how many of you delight in the laws of cricket. I delight in the LBW law. Have a listen to this. If a batsman is out, if it is not intercepted, full pitch, pitches in line between the wicket and but pitches between wicket and wicket or on the offside of the striker's wicket, and the ball not having previously touched his bat, the striker intercepts the ball either full pitch or after pitching with any part of the person. At the point of impact, even if above the level of the bails, inter is between the wicket, the striker has made no genuine attempt to play with his bat, is either between the wicket or the wicket outside the line of the stumps, then the batsman's out. Law number 36. It's a beautiful thing to listen to, isn't it? don't you just delight in the law of cricket? No, you don't. No. How is it that the psalmist says that we should delight in the law? Like a law isn't something that somebody normally finds joy in, is it? Like a set of rules? What's the psalmist talking about when he says, delight in the law of God, walk in the law of God? Well, when the psalmist talks about the law, he's not talking about the rules. What he's talking about is the word Torah, which in Hebrew means a direction or an instruction or a decision. It's translated as law or instruction or teaching or commandment. But when the psalmist talks about the law here, what he actually means is the first five books of the Old Testament. That's what Jews mean when they talk about law. The law, for them, is the first five books of the Old Testament. So Genesis, do you know what they are? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And think about all the things that happen in those books. We've got creation. God created the heavens and the earth by speaking. And then, although Adam and Eve disowned God and fell, God still lovingly acted to bring everybody back into relationship with him. And then we've got the calling of Abraham, we've got the Exodus, we've got, you know, the redemption of God's people, and then he gives them the law, and then he puts them into the land. Like all this story of God making people have relationship with him is the law. That's what the psalmist is talking about when he talks about the law. So when he says, walk according to the law, he's saying, be part of the continuation of this story. Be one of God's people, Israel, who have been saved and rescued and brought into relationship with him. He's saying to love the law is to love the things that God has done, to delight in his wonderful actions. And the law does include commands. So like the commands, like the Ten Commandments, all that kind of stuff is in the Pentateuch, the first five books. But it's much bigger than that. Like the law is God's whole, you know, whole story. So the psalmist is talking about delighting in that. And he's saying, blessed is the one who walks according to the law. And blessed is somebody who walks, you know, as part of that story, as part of God's salvation history. So everyone who has a relationship with God now through Jesus Christ is part of this story. So we're part of this continuation of this story. And we have blamelessness. So Jesus is blameless. And so we're on the road of blamelessness if we believe in Jesus, because he is blameless. Now, through Psalm 119, God's law is spoken about as being something wonderful, something more precious than gold or silver, something to delight in and to not forget about and to meditate on. How much more as Christians now that, you know, like the psalmist wrote all of this stuff probably about 2000 BC or so. So a long time before Jesus. How much more should we delight in the things that God has done now that Jesus has come and he has died on the cross and he's risen from the dead? And, you know, we know about all this stuff. It's written for us in the Bible. The Bible's more precious than anything silver or gold could buy. It's something that we should delight in. Psalm 1, if you remember Psalm 1, talks about the person who is immersed in the Bible being like a tree who's planted next to a stream of water, bearing fruit in season and not having leaves that wither. So somebody who is immersed and, you know, rooted in the Bible, in God's word, is somebody who is plugged into the source of life. why don't you, this year, with New Year's coming up this year, why don't you make a resolution for yourself to immerse yourself in the Bible? Set up a good Bible reading habit and stick at it through the whole year. Don't do it for 3 weeks. Do it for the whole read, for the whole year. And don't just read little verses here and there. Read big chunks. Read through the whole Bible. When I look back over my life, the times that I can see that God has blessed me the most abundantly are the times when I've had really good Bible reading habits and I've been praying to Him and having strong relationship with Him. This is the way to stay on the blameless path, to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Now, this is a Bible. Put your hand up if you think that this is the most important book in the world. Pretty much everyone, or most people. All right. Put your hand up if you've ever read a book from front to back, from cover to cover. Okay. Put your hand up if you've ever read the Bible from cover to cover. Oh, anytime. Do you know that you only need to read 5 pages a day to read through the whole Bible in a year? 5 pages a day. Why don't you make a resolution to read through the whole Bible in 2015? The year 13s are going to do it. Why don't you get in on the act and do it with them? Do it. It's a great thing. Immerse yourself in the Bible. Like, be like the tree who is planted next to streams of water. This is where life comes from God's word. The rest of the 16 verses that we're looking at today are quite amazing. We've only looked at verse 1 so far. And this is kind of what you do when you look at the Psalms. You look at one verse and you just, you know, tease everything out of it. Like, that's how you read the Psalms. You do it slowly. But look, just glance your eyes over the rest of verses 2 to 16. And notice how relational these verses are. It's as if, as you read through them, it's as if you're listening to one side of a really good conversation between two friends. The psalmist talks in verse 4 about the goodness of walking God's way. And then in verses 5 to 6, he cries out in exasperation. If only, he says, I was able to live this way according to your law, and then I wouldn't be put to shame. I want to, but my actions just don't line up with what I know is right. These are the words of a repentant believer. And verses 7 to 8, he makes a renewed commitment to fix his eyes on the direction, to direct his heart towards praise of God and learning his statutes. And then at the end of verse 8, he makes a plea to God. He says, God, please, please don't utterly forsake me. He knows that it's something that he can't do on his own. He can't walk this walk of faith on his own. He needs help. He needs God's presence with him. How many of you know Liverpool's anthem? Do you know what it's called, Zeke? Does anyone know what it's called? Liverpool Football Club, the anthem. Yeah. I was saying to Gareth this morning, I think the reason that people up here aren't so into sports is because there isn't great sports to go and watch. Like when you go and you go to a cricket test match and you're immersed in the atmosphere, you just, when you watch it on TV, you're just there. Like, you know, you feel the action and the passion. So you guys should all head down to Sydney and watch a test match. It's great. Trust me. The Liverpool anthem is called Never Walk Alone. It's fantastic listening to when Liverpool played at the MCG last year, hearing 95,000 people sing this anthem, Never Walk Alone. The Bible says that if we believe in Jesus, that we will never walk alone. God has promised that Jesus is going to be with us by the Spirit for the rest of our lives. We will never walk alone. So when we pray this prayer, We pray, Lord, never forsake me. We know that God's already answered that. We know that we are already united with God in Christ. Psalm 119 is about a journey. It's about a journey of walking through life, desperately trying to stay on the path that God has mapped out for us. As we read through the psalm, we're invited not only to watch and to observe what's happening, but we're invited to walk with the psalmist and to experience all the things that they experience, to experience the pain and the struggles, the joys, the temptations. We're invited to sense the earnest desire to walk according to God's way, to live according to his law and his commands. We're called to feel the impression of hopelessness and the need to call on God for help as we walk, to realize the need for complete dependence on him. This psalm is an amazing psalm because it guides us through the full spectrum of emotional states and teaches us to continue on the road even when things are good, even when things are bad. We're invited to walk with the psalmist through good times, to delight in God's goodness, to praise God for his provision for us. But we're also invited to walk with the psalmist through tough times, times of sadness, of grief, of sorrow, times when enemies and bullies surround him and do really horrible, wicked things to him. And we see how he deals with this sadness, with anger, with grief, by turning to God and remaining plugged into friendship with him and keeping on reading and meditating on the Bible. The psalm really is a masterclass in what real wisdom is for the real world. It doesn't give a simplistic picture, pretending that the journey through life for a believer is going to be easy. It shows that it's actually okay to be happy. It's okay to be joyful. But it's actually okay to be sad as well, to be despondent, to be grieved, even angry, as you walk along the road as a believer. Life is up and down. Like that's just the reality of life. And Psalm 119 is a guide on how to to stay plugged into God in good times and bad times. Next week's passage is like in a real kind of valley. He's really despondent. He's really crying out to God. And I think that's really relevant to us, knowing how to be prepared for bad times when they come along. But there's one take-home message through the psalm, and that is, on the journey, don't let go of the Bible. There's 176 verses in this psalm, and if you look through it, I think I'm right, only 6 verses don't mention God's word. And the whole 176 verses. Have a read through it and see whether I'm right or not. So we have an even better perspective on life now than the psalmist did when he wrote this. We know a fuller, more complete picture of God, a way of knowing God through Jesus Christ. But we still have a lot in common with this guy who wrote this psalm. We all struggle with the same things, the same kinds of difficulties, the same kinds of temptations to turn aside from the road. So my hope is that as we read through Psalm 119 together over the next 4 weeks, that this is a time which brings you closer to God and aligns your affections, your emotions more closely with his, and brings your purposes more closely aligned with his purposes. Just brings you blessing as you read through this and you think about the road marked out for you. So, yeah, I just really hope this is a really fruitful, profitable time for you. So make sure you read Psalm 119. Think about getting a Bible reading plan going. If you don't know how to do that, then have a chat to me. I've got lots of different ones that you could try out. Or talk to the Year 13s. They're going to have a good Bible reading plan that they're going to read through for the year, aren't you? Yep. They're pumped, aren't they? Awesome.